It's time for Dodger Baseball.
Strike three. The Dodgers have won it all in 2020.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Dodging Sleep podcast. We're recording this on the 21st of June, and as regular listeners will know, we always start the podcast with an on this day in Dodgers history, except today, because we've had a look through the list and there's nothing particularly exceptional, inspiring, interesting or humorous. So by the time you all hear this, it will be at least the 22nd of June. So we are going to go with on this day when you hear it. 22nd of June 1966, and this is relevant because we've got an upcoming series against the Astros. So back in 1966 at the Astrodome, the great Sandy Koufax not only went a complete game, he improved his record for the season of 13-2, and he did it in front of a record crowd in Houston. So nice to give them a good old knock. Trash cans or not, it's always nice to beat them. Anyway, it'll be a little bit of an unusual podcast starting with that theme, I guess, tonight, because instead of there being four of us, there's only two of us tonight, and for want of a better word, it's the Ian and Ian show. So my name's Ian Carlson, the normally referred to as the old Ian, and we got young Ian with me. Mr. Blees, how you doing?
Yeah, really well, thanks, mate. Really well, thanks. I think we just managed to squeeze in the time to get this in ahead of MLB London this weekend.
MLB London. I've not heard of that. We might have to talk about that in the show. Might get a few minutes in on that one. I'm guessing that maybe the usual suspects of Leon and Adam have decided to duck out because they've had a look. Yeah, I'm not having any part of that. There's a lot on Dodgers Twitter about the fact we finally managed to get a win. It made it sound like we'd gone weeks and weeks and months of losses. In fact, it was just three on the bounce. But it does mean that our record of the last 10 is now 4-6, which is not great. Giants are 9-1 and are absolutely on fire at the moment. We're not doing great in the division. We've dropped, I think last time we podded, we were neck and neck with Arizona. We've now dropped back to third place, 3.5 games behind them. Although despite that bad run, we still go. What's your thoughts on the recent run? Is it as big a car crash as Dodgers Twitter would make out or not too bad?
I don't think it's the beginning of the end, but I do think it's alarm bells. I think this team was really overachieving for quite a while. I'll come on to the makeup of the team a little bit later on when we're talking about something else. But it's alarming. You know, there's no doubt we've had a lot of injuries, a lot of disruption. And for a while we were on fire. We were charging. We were sitting atop of the division, despite some really good showings from the Diamondbacks. And now obviously the Giants are now on a bit of a charge as well. And it's not a surprise to me at all that we've slipped back. You've only got to look as far as the runs conceded, to see that we have conceded more runs on average per game this season than we have in a very long time. We're normally in the top two for runs conceded in the National League, often the major leagues. And last I checked, we were somewhere around 20th. Now, I'm sure someone will have that stat and hammer me with it when they actually read it. But I can tell you now that our earned run average is our bullpen's earned run average is second only to the Oakland A's in terms of it being the highest in all of Major League Baseball. And that is a very worrying place to be. There's been a lot of talk about the bullpen. There's been a lot of talk about the way things can go. But I mean, We had a rookie pitcher last week, or indeed a few days ago, who none of us had ever heard of, I don't think, unless you're a real diehard minor league follower. Emmett Sheehan was thrust upon us out of nowhere, and he pitched 6 no-hit innings. And then the Dodgers go on to concede 7 in the final 3 innings, and we lose the game. And it's all too common a theme right now that we can't hold on to a lead. We really need length from the starting pitching every single time. Any more than whatever they have to come in and do more than 2 innings, it's a real concern. Of course, I think the first time that we were talking about this the other night, and then I think the bullpen came in and pitched something like 5 innings of shutout baseball. Of course,
yeah.
So it shows that they can do it. You know, they can do it at times. But I think it's a real cause for concern. I don't know how easy it is to fix, because it isn't like in the past. It's always been the Jansons or the Kimbrels who've bore the brunt of it. You know, they're the ones who've been blowing saves. We've got 16 saves on the season, and Evan Phillips has got, I think, half of those. It's a real concern, because I think I couldn't find the stat to see the number of times that a blown save had occurred, number of times that a blown lead. But it's an alarming number, especially when you consider that the starting rotation has been disrupted so much, and yet we've still got guys like Bobby Miller coming out there doing fantastic work for the most part. He had a bit of a rude awakening the other night, it's fair to say, but his first 4 starts were stellar, and it's only his most recent start where he turned out to actually be a human being. So still lots of positives to be said there, but it's got to be really hard for the guys, because they know when they hand the ball off and come out of the game, they might be in line for a win, or at least they've done everything that they can to keep the team in with a shout, and they're handing it over to the shakiest bullpen that I can imagine. And plenty of times in the past, we have spoken about bullpens. I remember one of the first ever podcasts that we did was called something and bullpen woes. And it's the kind of thing that teams always look to, and then the bullpen often gets blamed for things. But this is by far, I think, the shakiest bullpen that we've ever had. So I just hope that we can knuckle down and find a solution to start winning some games.
Yeah, I agree. You never think you're far enough ahead in terms of runs. You never think your starting pitcher can go deep enough to give you a chance. We're called the Dodge and Sleep podcast for a reason, which is, in the most part, if we want to follow the Dodgers live, it's either a very late night or a very early start. And the number of times on our group chat, you get messages with, "That's it, I'm off to bed. That's it, I'm giving up. That's it, I've had enough." And it usually coincides with the starting pitcher leaving the game, and maybe one inning, maybe 2 into the bullpen, and it comes off the rails. It's not helped by, you know, the batting, which I think over the last few years as we've been doing the pod, it's been a recurring theme how hot and cold the batting can go. And just looking at the moment, I think batting average for the team were 13th out of the 15 NL teams. You know, if we were first or second, you might look at it and go, "Well, we're probably getting enough of a head start. We've got a bit of a chance, even with a weak bullpen." But we're not scoring enough. It seems to come in peaks and troughs. We have 1 or 2 games when everybody's on fire, and then it dies down again. I'll be honest. It feels like we're kind of as we all thought we were going to be at the start of the season. As you said earlier, Ian, you know, it felt like we were overachieving earlier on in the season, and we're now sort of slipping back to kind of where we thought we would be. the only surprise, or one of the big surprises, is though we've slipped back to sort of perhaps where people thought we would be, we're still ahead of San Diego, but we're behind Arizona and San Francisco. And I think we all thought at the start of the season it wouldn't quite be playing out like that. Having said all of that, we're still, I think a stat Ian shared with me just before that we started was that we've still got a 90% chance of being in the postseason, although I think last time we recorded we were at 99% chance of getting in the postseason. So it needs to turn around pretty sharpish. But we have been here before with sort of slumps. I guess for me, whenever we've slumped in the past, you've looked at looked at whether it's the pitching, the bullpen, the batting, you'd look at it and go, there's actually enough depth there. And if somebody's being carried a little bit at the moment, you know, we've got plenty of strength around to do it. But, you know, you look at how many pitches we've got out either on the 15 day or out for the whole season. And you just think, well, you know, let's be honest, Kershaw is not getting any younger. His back, his fingers, his knees, his neck, his nose, whatever you want to, you know, anything and everything has the chance to sort of fall over at some point. I mean, on the plus side, we're getting the chance to get a whole load of youngsters in and giving them a go. But it does feel as though we're one injury away from it turning into a real mess. Which, you know, does make me think, you know, what are your thoughts? I know we're some way off yet, but at what point do you think we sit still at trade deadline rather than dabbling in the markets as we've done in the past? Because at some point you're going to look at it and go, well, even if we're close-ish in terms of divisional position, if we're that weak, you can't paper over all the cracks.
I mean, I think it. I don't think they'll sit still, even if they do nothing, and they won't. It won't be through lack of trying. I think this front office has shown before that they're always keen to it, you know, to improve the staff, and they will look to make moves. We've got, in theory, with Walker Buehler could come back right at the end of this season. And, you know, if he comes back 90%, 85% of his very best, then, you know, what a great addition he will be to the rotation. Maybe he does a bullpen job while he's like rehabbing. While he's being built back up, so there's a few other players due back as well at various points in the season. Dustin May, hopefully, and the season's not over yet. It's definitely not over. We're still in there. We've got far more than a chip at a chair. We're not in last chance saloon. If we are in last chance saloon, so if the record continues to get worse and our chances of reaching the playoffs is really in decline, then I can absolutely see a world where they try and get some value for Arias, for example, rather than trying to knuckle down with what we have. If we're really flagging and we're slipping away, I can see that they might try and pick up a few prospects for Arias, who obviously we lose, or it comes to the end of his contract this year, and we lose that control. But other than that, I don't think I can really see much, and I don't think that will be the situation. I think we will still be competitive. I think we're in a very competitive division. I think the Padres will eventually start to figure things out, although there is talk that they're really feeling the strain financially with all the moves that they've already made, and they're sitting fourth out of five in the division. So it wouldn't be the biggest surprise to see the Padres come back and really mount some pressure. And I think once we're that far down, because the Diamondbacks aren't going anywhere by the looks of it. The Giants are on a roll, but whether they stay that way, quite how much depth they have through their organization, if they were to pick up a few injuries like we have had, then they'll be tested too. But I can't see a situation, to answer your original question, where we do nothing. We might decide not to make any expansive moves like we've seen in the past, where we've brought in the likes of, you know, Darvish, Scherzer, Turner, You know, really, really big names to try and Machado even to try and help us push through. If we're in with a chance, then they have to look at shortstop. They have to. You know, we're carrying out there right now, and they have to look at bullpen arms, and depending on the situation. On the situation at that point in time with starting pitching, they could also look there. But I think we're just not as good as we were in the past. That's the crux of it.
Absolutely. And I think if you're looking for all three, starting pitching, bullpen, shortstop, that probably answers the question that there's just too many gaps. Speaking of gaps, should there be another one? Is it time to make a gap in the managerial position with Dave Roberts? I'll be honest here. We thought we'd make it a bit Hollywood-like, a bit LA-like, and go head-to-head on this. One in favour of getting rid of him, one in favour of keeping him. I think secretly we probably both want to keep him, but I'm going to play the role of get Roberts out, there's certainly quite a vocal force on Dodgers Twitter. I don't know whether it's a majority yet or a minority, but there's certainly plenty of people out there who would get rid of him. So let's get straight into it. His managerial record this year, his win-loss percentage, is the worst that he's had. I know he's at 0.548 this year. I know he's been at 0.564 and won a pennant, but we're still a long way off that. His management of the bullpen is very inconsistent with some ill-judged decisions. He's proven that he can manage successfully a very, very good team, but give him an average team, and he struggles to get the best out of them. He's got a bit long in the tooth, and frankly, it's time to move on and start afresh. How do you respond to that, Mr. Youngian?
Okay, so I'll try and take that into three different points, one at a time. So he's got his worst ever managerial record. He's actually got one of the best win-loss records of a manager of all time. He's never had a losing season. He's 40-33, 5.48. I think you just said there, and that's the worst he's ever done. That's still pretty good. If you expand that through from there, we probably still make the postseason, which is roughly where we thought we would. Where we thought we would be at the start of the year. So I'm not too worried. We know the team is not as good as it was, and I will come into that in slightly more detail. Because if you compare in the 2022 team with the 2023 team, we've got a marked decline in starting pitching. Some of that's down to injury, but we have a marked decline in starting pitching. We have a horrendous decline in bullpen. First base, yeah, fine. You know, it's still Freddie Freeman. Second base, last year we had Lux, and Lux was doing better than Vargas has done so far this year. Third base, we had JT. All right, JT was a little bit of third base, a little bit of DH, and Muncy was out there as well doing a few bits. But JT hits better for average, hits more doubles, hits less home runs. That's the only difference is that Muncy hits more home runs than JT. But still, I think 2022 JT is better than 2023 Max Muncy. Shortstop, Trey Turner, there's no comparison with Miggy Rowe, with Chris Taylor, with whoever's been playing out there. Probably the best one, as I've said before, has been Betts in the few opportunities he's had out there. Left field, last year we had CT3. And this year we've seen a bit of an improvement, probably in the fact that David Peralta has been playing out there a lot, and he's been doing pretty well this last few weeks. We've gone in on James Outman to be the replacement for Belly. That's not quite worked out after a really hot start. And we've started to see Jason Heyward playing out there a bit more often. And obviously Betts still in right field. So counting up, there's five different areas where you can say that we are in decline. So across the 10 areas there that I've mentioned, five of them are in decline based on the, from, all right, it's my opinion, but based this year into last year. So Dave Roberts has been working miracles to get what he's got out of these players. So when you say things like he's not getting the best out of what he's got, I have to highlight what he's actually working with. You know, it's really hard to drive a car with a flat tire. And he's been able to do incredibly well. And where he's getting slated, and you know what, there have been some decisions that don't work out. I don't think he can be blamed for the bullpen. He can't send, you know, even though we've got guys like Evan Phillips and Shelby Miller, who are sitting below 2.5 on ERA, and even Caleb Ferguson looked good until a few weeks ago. Those guys can't pitch every single night. We have to, unfortunately, hand the ball to Yancey. And we've brought in, you know, a few other guys. Justin Brule at times has looked really wobbly. Taylor Scott's had a few starts recently. Robertson, Hudson, Alex Vessier, one of our most reliable relievers in recent years, I don't know what it is. There's lots of people saying it's the pace of the game. It's the speed up rules. Mm-hmm. He was renowned for being a very slow pitcher on the mound, and it just doesn't seem to be working out for him at this point in time. But you know, we've got guys out here with ridiculous ERAs who have had plenty of starts. So you know, Phil Bickford, I think he's on the IL at the minute. But you know, 7.33, Vessier 8, Yancey 6.3. And then actually what looks quite good is Justin Brule on 4.4. And the only ones that have been even sort of like league average, you're looking at Victor Gonzalez, who's not been back for all that long, but he's in at 3.66. Caleb Ferguson, probably slightly above league average at 3.33. And then the other guys I mentioned before, I've actually surprised by Gratterall, Brewstar Gratterall. Because he's actually still got an ERA of 2.4, even though he does appear, he terrifies me whenever he comes in.
there is something about it. I'll be honest, I agree with everything you've said, and I certainly wouldn't change him. But it wouldn't have made for a great podcast if both of us had sat there and said, shall we get rid of him or shall we keep him? Let's keep him. Right, next topic. I'm never whatever the sport. I'm never a great fan in replacing a manager, a coach, a head, whatever it might be, mid-season, because unless it's absolutely fallen off big time, and of course in American sports you don't even have relegation to worry about, so I'd sit tight. I think you get through to the end of the season, you take stock and see what happens, and for all the reasons you said, you know, he's what's somebody else going to do, come in and suddenly miraculously heal everybody who's injured, and you know, it's just not going to happen. So you know, I think you keep going with what you've got and try and make the best of it. Keeping going with what we've got maybe leads on to a topic that we've come on to many times before, but we are going to do it again. Mr. Clayton Kershaw, who picked us up the other night and got us a win after three losses. Interestingly, a stat that Ian shared with me at the start, which I'm going to shamelessly now steal. The Dodgers are currently third in the division. The last time we finished third in the division back in 2011, Mr. Kershaw won the Cy Young. So I'm not suggesting that we end up finishing third and keep the Cy Young again, but interesting.
And the Triple Crown.
And the Triple Crown.
Yeah.
Now, in his absence, regular podcaster with us, Mr. Adam Legg, has sent in some words to describe Kershaw. I think we asked him to pick 10, but in good old Derby style, he's managed, I think, 8 looking at it. Breathtaking, dazzling, epic, iconic, legendary, masterful, sensational, stellar. Yeah, we're a couple short, a bit like some of the runs in Dodgers games at the moment. You know, every year we get towards the end of the season and it's will he, won't he, re-sign? You know, you look at him at the moment and go, well, not only should we try and re-sign him, you give him a multi-year deal. I mean, it's he's just unbelievable. Well, everything Adam said and more. Well, at least two more to get us to 10. Have you got any other words left to describe him that we haven't used before?
I think in recent years, we probably haven't said healthy. And I think that's what we're seeing. That's what we're seeing this year from Clayton Kershaw, is that he is healthy. And we've got an awful habit of jinxing players on this podcast. We say good things. So I'm going to say no more than that.
Fine. let's just leave it at that then.
I was listening to a podcast the other week, the other day. Sorry, it was Locked On Dodgers with Jeff Snyder and I'm really sorry, but the other guy listens all the time as well. talking about the Kershaw's quest for his for the next strikeout goal that we've been building towards, 3,000 strikeouts, and he's on pace to comfortably hit 3,000 this year. Now, Jeff Snyder at the start of the year was one of the people who said that the Dodgers will win the World Series and Kershaw will retire. And there's no doubt for me, if Dodgers win the World Series, Kershaw retires. It's not looking that way at the moment. And actually, I think, without wanting to tempt fate, if his season keeps going the way it's been going, he's got another few years in him, and he's 34 years old. He's not old for a pitcher. Now, all right, he came up earlier than a lot of pitchers. So in terms of major league years service, he's perhaps aged slightly ahead of time. But I think quite realistically, you could look at him and go, well, you know, maybe he's only 36, 37. You know, in that term, and he could still have another 3 or 4 years if he wants it. And I think we are seeing now that the team won't ride him. They won't flog him to death like we have in the past. And how important he is to the team. There's a great line on that same podcast from Jeff Snyder, where he said, "I care almost as much about Clayton Kershaw's personal success as I do about the Dodgers." And I'm kind of in the same boat. Like, we're all in on Kershaw. We all think he's fantastic. We all run out of superlatives when talking about him, and we all want the absolute best for him. He wants a World Series that people can't claim is due to a shortened season, is tainted in some other way. And I think he's still got it in him, even if we don't get it this year.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a fair point. Let's move on, as you say, before we jinx it. Something else that we could quite easily jinx, given the somewhat topsy-turvy weather at the moment in the UK, after weeks and weeks, it feels like, of glorious sunshine, is the upcoming MLB London. We've not had I don't think we've had one completely rained off yet. First time for everything. There we go. Let's get the bad weather in now. We've got Glastonbury Festival this weekend. We've got MLB in London, you know, cricket season's in full bloom. It's going to be rain, isn't it? I sadly can't make it, but Young Ian is going to be there. So what are you looking forward to? What are you doing? Are you just sitting, eating hot dogs and watching the game? Or have you got anything special planned? There we go. I'll set you up nicely there.
Yeah, so I've been invited down to the workout day on the Friday. So I'm actually at a friend's wedding on Thursday night. So congratulations, Carl and Sarah. Really looking forward to that. And then first thing Friday morning, bright and early, I'm traveling down with a friend of mine and his wife to the workout day. And that's where you basically get to spend 3-4 hours in the stadium, and you watch both teams take batting practice, maybe do a few drills on the field. And I'm going to make a beeline for a certain Chicago Cubs player. And seeing if I can get him to sign my Dodgers shirt. Everyone knows I'm a massive fan of Cody Bellinger, and let's hope that you know, the stars align. The baseball gods have been really good to me in recent years. I had a chat with Joe Torre at the last MLB London. I met Trace Thompson at the World Baseball Classic. I could only attend one Dodgers spring training game while I was out there, and it happened to be Kershaw's first start of spring. So the baseball gods have been really good to me, and I'm way in debt to them already. But if there's any way that I can bump into Cody, then that would be phenomenal, and I'll do my best to be slightly cooler than when I met Joe Torre. I've been invited to a British Baseball Heroes dinner or buffet or something. I'm not entirely sure what that is. I'm not entirely sure why I've been invited, but there's free food there. So I'm going to go along and do that. And then we're going to go off to Trafalgar Square, where they've got the big pre-event on the Friday night. And on Saturday, for some crazy reason that I cannot justify in my own mind, BT Sport have asked to speak to me about, I don't really know what about. And I think it's going to touch on my World Baseball Classic experience. Hopefully I'll get an opportunity to talk about some of my involvement in the domestic game. And, you know, even then, you know, if I get asked about the general fandom situation, I can obviously talk about our little podcast and our little WhatsApp group and all the people, the half a dozen of you that listen every week and contribute on our little Facebook group, because you know this means a lot to me, and I know it means a lot to those people who get engaged with it. So really exciting times. That's at 3 o'clock on Saturday. Then I've got ridiculous tickets for the this is my payment for wittering on for a short amount of time prior to the Saturday game. So I've got really good tickets near the TV studio on the Saturday and the Sunday, and then back up to sunny old Preston Sunday night, and back to work on Monday. But really looking forward to it. And one of the things I'm looking forward to is the MLB London experience of 2019 was fantastic, and everyone said we're going to go back and do it even bigger and better in 2020. For obvious reasons that we don't need to go into again, that never happened. But so many people that I've spoken to on so many occasions on Twitter, online, on Facebook, that I've never met in real life, and I'm looking forward to meeting these people, including Adam Legg and Leon Boyne from our very own podcast. And hopefully, I heard a rumor that the mysterious Scott Machin maybe making an appearance down there. So really, Ian, there's only you that didn't manage to pull your finger out and get yourself down there.
Well, I must admit, maybe my ticket for the MLB has got lost in the same envelope as my invite to Carl and Sarah's wedding. Not that I'm going to hold it against them. Clearly, congratulations to them. Do we refer to you now as Ian quotes MLB hero Glees? Is that fair? Are you getting a T-shirt, a hat?
Definitely not MLB hero. It was British Baseball Hero, and realistically, absolutely not. It's almost embarrassing to be included in some of the other people that have been out there. I think basically, I got a bit of a social media following from the World Baseball Classic stuff.
Let's be honest, they're hoping you turn up in the Jerry Halliwell dress, aren't they? That's what they want. That's what BT Sport want. That's what we all want. In fact, I think you ought to start off at the wedding wearing it and just carry on through. I think that's what we want.
I wouldn't want to upstage the bride, you know. I feel like it would be very unfair on Sarah for me to get these legs out for everyone to see. But there's a chance that the Blazer might make an appearance. It was something that was mentioned when we were talking about it the other day, so maybe the Blazer will get busted out.
Excellent.
The dress will not. That's not going with me. And the trousers for the suit will not, because I seem to recall that they split the last time I wore them due to too much good food, good living, and
the American way of
dancing. The American way of life, exactly. Yes.
Good. Good. Well, I hope it goes really well. I hope the weather's good. I hope the game is as British audience friendly as the Yankees Red Sox one was all those years ago. And yeah, you know, I mean, I know some people don't like the rollout of American sports across the rest of the globe, but I can't get enough of it personally. And hopefully this is successful and we see more of it in future years. Preview time. We've got one game left in the series against the Angels, which is we were looking at it earlier. As things stood at the time of recording, we hadn't even named our starting pitcher, so we're going with the much talked about bullpen against. I haven't heard of this guy. Is it Shoy? She? Shoy?
Is it a little known player? Yes.
Yeah. So Dodgers bullpen against Ohtani. Yeah, that's I'm going loss on that one. We've then got three against the Astros, and I'm going to have us lose in that series 2-1, much as it pains me. And then we've got three at the Rockies, which I'm going to have us winning 2-1, and three at the Royals, which I'm going to have us winning 2-1. So that puts us on two for that puts us on five wins and 1, 2, 3, 4, five losses. So I've got a split in the next few games. How about you?
In all honesty, we didn't practice this. I have it exactly the same way, but for a point of difference, I'll have a sweep in the Royals. So we'll go 6-4.
Excellent. And I think the reason why I've not got a sweep in the Royals is because within that batch of games, the only UK friendly time is on the 2nd of July, and it's the final game of our series against the Royals. And as everybody knows over here in the UK, the Dodgers are always shocking in UK friendly time games. So that was the one I had as losing. But we shall see. Bit of any other business. We've got the All-Star voting, and we were looking at the stats beforehand. I think the end of the first round is this week. Will Smith's currently in second, and he's $500,000 down on first place, which means if all of our UK listeners vote, he'll still be in second place and about $500,000 down. But you can vote. I think you were saying, Ian, is it five times a day? And
you
keep
can vote
going?
Five times a day. That's right, yeah.
So encourage you all to get on and vote for, obviously vote for the best player, but if they happen to wear Dodgers, then maybe vote all five times a day for them. Any other thoughts on All-Star voting?
Yeah, I mean, we've got, it's looking very likely that that Freddie and Betts get in, which is probably not a huge surprise, really. Betts is second in the voting, but obviously three outfielders get in. And although he is 800,000 votes behind behind Ronald Acuna Jr., who I nearly called Roberto, he's also 800,000 clear of Corbin Carroll, who's in third place currently. And actually, you know, low key hope he gets in, to be honest with you. I think Corbin Carroll's been having a phenomenal season, and for a player with no profile to be that far up, it demonstrates that. Muncy has obviously, he's been on the IL a bit, and he's slipped down. Maybe he's not been on the IL, but he's certainly been out of the lineup. But he's in third place. He's 300,000 votes behind Arenado. JD Martinez is currently in the lead on the DH side of it, but it's quite a fragile one. 160,000 votes is apparently fragile, because it's Bryce Harper who is breathing down his neck, and we all know what he can do when he goes on a bit of a run.
Absolutely.
So yeah, I think there's going to be good Dodgers representation. Pitching is done a little bit down the line, but I can, you know, I feel like Kershaw's just going to get in every year. You know, I think the top outfield vote getter in the American League is Mike Trout, and he's by his own standards nothing like where he normally is. So it's an interesting one to see that. So I think Kershaw on reputation will keep getting in for as long as he keeps playing, unless he comes out and says something racist or homophobic, which only half of America agree with.
Indeed. And we'll leave it at that. I've got one other AOB, which is there's been a bit in the press recently about the fans in Oakland and their response to the the owners and what they're doing. I think I saw one stat that says not only is their payroll the worst, but they could increase it by a factor of three and it would still only be the 16th highest payroll in the whole of MLB, which is just shocking and outrageous. So very happy to stand with those Oakland A's fans in support of their team and the location and against the ownership, who really just don't seem to care. But yeah, I just wanted to get that shout out in case there are any Oakland A fans listening. Otherwise, that's it from me. Have you got anything more?
Just one more, if I can. So, and then it is going to come away from the Dodgers, and in fact, away from MLB. So this past Saturday, my club, the club that I am, I don't own it, the club that I'm associated with, the Liverpool Trojans, our blind baseball team hosted the first ever blind baseball tournament that's been held on UK soil. It was absolutely fantastic. It was a load of athletes who would ordinarily you would just think would never play baseball. And they've come up with a version of the game that they've adapted for them. It's come out of Italy, this particular version. So if any Americans are listening, it's not beep baseball. It's a blind baseball format that's come out of Italy, and it was so genuinely heartwarming to be there and to witness it and to see how much these athletes got out of it. It was absolutely brilliant. I've got to say thank you to the Blind Trojans team. So Matt, Dave, Macca, Kelly, Joe, and then we have with sighted player, what a good friend of mine, Dave Martin Byers. We had assistance that day from Scotty, Gina, and Terry. Guys from UK Blind Baseball came down, who also helped run the Manchester team. So John Eaton, Ian Marchment, and Margie. Holly came all the way from Cardiff. She was up at 5 a.m. to drive to Swansea to pick someone up for his first ever taste of blind baseball. Drove him all the way back up to Liverpool, drove him all the way back to Swansea before going back to Cardiff later that day. So what an absolute trooper. And the whole time she was there, she wasn't sitting on her ass. She was umpiring every single game. It was an absolute spectacle. It was fun. That's a pun I didn't mean to make. But it was absolutely brilliant. It was great. If anyone gets a chance to take in any, I would say that. And congratulations to the Blind Trojans, who won that trophy, won that tournament, their first ever tournament. Absolutely fantastic. I'm, again, running out of superlatives and repeating the word fantastic.
Well, it's an amazing story, and I think you've got a great tale to tell on BT Sport. May even need to surpass mentioning the podcast, because that's just... it's just brilliant, isn't it? So... yeah, glad to hear that. Great news that everybody was getting involved and volunteering and helping out. Wonderful to hear. Otherwise, then, I think that is it. So it has been the Ian and Ian show. Thanks to Ian Blees for joining me tonight and for doing all the recording. Thanks in advance to Mr. Liam Boyne, who's now going to take this amazing version of the podcast and edit it into some kind of form so that it works for everybody. Otherwise, my name's Ian Carlson. Thank you all for listening. And as ever, please don't hesitate to get in touch with questions or feedback via the usual channels. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.